Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Lunchboxes are being filled, ties knotted, new shoes being broken in, all marking the beginning of the new school year. But as the first term kicks off in schools around the country, what are the most pressing issues that our school principals are dealing with? Staff shortages, rising bills, overcrowding, and the possible resurgence of the dreaded COVID, all potentially on the horizon. Well, I'm joined now by three principals to tell us more. Siobhan Buckley is principal of Presentation National School, Mill Street in Cork. Louise Tobin, principal of St. Joseph's Primary School in Tipperary, and Aaron Wolfe is principal of Colaisha Éamon Rees Secondary School in Cork City. Good morning to you all and thank you for joining us. Aaron, I'm going to start with you in Cork City. You've 600 pupils there, and as we start this school year, what's your own most pressing concern or issue that you're dealing with?
Oh God, there's so many different issues. I think all principals agree that it varies. I mean, as we can talk about class sizes, teacher shortages, the difficulties trying to get teachers for different areas, how we're going to pay heating bills as the year goes on. There's an awful lot to summarise in one thing, yeah.
One issue that you were dealing with, I know, was you were trying to get this ramp in, weren't you, over the summer?
Are you trying to upset me, Claire? Because the ramp has gone, because you are upsetting me. Yes, very difficult. We have students with disabilities that need a ramp. So the ramp was put in. We had builders booked. The builders couldn't pour concrete because they were booked for the week of the heat wave. Then the builders got COVID, so they couldn't do it. Eventually, the concrete was poured, and you couldn't make this up. The concrete was poured on Friday evening at finished at 4:45. At 5 o'clock, a child wandered into the school and ran up the ramp on a bicycle.
Oh, no.
And so the ramp now must come back out.
You see, completely. It has to come back out completely.
Yeah, it is destroyed, and it was cordoned off and everything.
Okay.
It would break your heart to come in this morning.
You see, and you're the one who has to explain to the parents of the children who need the ramp why it isn't there.
Absolutely, and that is very difficult. And you know, parents, they want the best for their child, and we do as principals. But it is very difficult to get hold of tradespeople. It's very difficult to do the tendering process. And you know, some people don't want to do. They don't want these jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So we put a job for tender. We might got no response to it. And then jobs go over, and we must go back to the department. Now, fair juice to the department have been very generous, I think, with money for emergency works and for COVID schemes. There's some wonderful people working in the Department of Education, allocations, they're brilliant to deal with. But it is difficult. It's very hard to run a school at the moment.
And Louise, in Tipperary, in the primary school that you run, are you facing a shortage of teachers? We've heard a lot about this from schools right around the country.
Yeah, good morning, Claire. Well, we have our quota of teachers employed and ready to go for Thursday when we reopen. But I am concerned. The recent engagement process that we were involved in, say, 3 weeks ago, looking for a number of fixed-term teachers, which is a nice job. You know, you have your job security for the year. And we had three of those positions and possible an additional one or two. And Claire, I was just shocked. We got less than 30 applications.
And what would it normally have been?
Last year, it was about 75. And the previous year was 100 and something. So this is really, you know, and I suppose it worried me because it's an indicator that there probably will be the worst subs crisis we've ever had because, you know, if we'd only 30 people interested in a job for the year, there must be very, you know, there must be a lot less numbers of people available to work. And as I say, you know, who's going to do the, you know, the sub days when a teacher is sick or when a teacher has a bereavement? I am worried about it.
So where are the teachers? Where are they all gone?
I don't know. I really don't know, Claire. I would imagine there's a number gone abroad. We have 142 supply panels in the country. So that would be maybe 3 to 5 teachers on each of those panels. We have teachers, of course, you know, on their entitlements of career breaks. And people seconded into different roles. But, I mean, I'm not predicting that things are going to be really bad, but I imagine it's going to be very, very challenging.
It's a concern. And Siobhan, in Mill Street at the Presentation National School, is staffing an issue there?
Good morning, Claire. I suppose at the minute, you know, staffing isn't, and the month of September will actually run quite well because you won't have illness and things like that. But, you know, we have seen in the past that come after midterm, you know, when people get sick and the unexpected happens, staffing does become a very real issue, you know, mm-hmm. and it is very challenging. I suppose, Claire, from my point of view here in Mill Street, my challenges would be threefold, really. I spoke to you before the summer when the Ukrainian children started, and you know, I suppose we looked at that as a 9-week project, but the reality is the war in Ukraine is going nowhere, and the children are going to be with us, and they're going to be with us for a full year, and that's going to bring its own challenges, and we will rise to those challenges. But, you know, we need to buy resources for them, we need to buy books, we need to have, you know, give them more meaningful engagement with the Irish curriculum, you know, so that's going to be a challenge.
And are you getting any financial support for the books and the uniforms?
Absolutely
well?
Not, no. Now, I do know that the Ukrainian families were entitled to the back-to-school allowance. They were advised of that, but absolutely no support for that. And I suppose, Claire, one of my greatest worries, and you had somebody on earlier from the business sector talking about it, the rising costs of running a school. I mean, the person you had on earlier spoke about the energy bill.
Yes.
My energy bill in the month of May was $2,500. And our energy provider last week increased it by 35.4%. So that's going to be €800 extra on my bill every 2 months. I really cannot see how schools are going to meet the challenges of their overheads.
Surely you'll have to be supported in paying that. You can't take it from existing resources.
Not a hope. And, you know, the budget is coming up. INTO have asked for an increase in capitation. We would like the same capitation as our counterparts at second level. In primary, we get €1 per day per pupil. At secondary, they get €2 per day. And, you know, we're all running schools. It has nothing to do with the size or the height of the child in the school.
Mm-hmm.
And
I know.
Why it's that anomaly is there, I do not understand.
It wouldn't seem to make much sense that there's a difference.
Clear.
Aaron,
yeah.
Can I ask you about the Ukrainian students you have coming in now in September? Yeah. Are you in the same position that you're not getting supports to help them?
No, we are. I mean, just this morning, the Red Cross actually dropped down school bags for every Ukrainian student we have, and they're full of copies and things like that, you know. And as well, we have the book loan scheme, which is supplied for by the Department of Education. So, no, in secondary school, certainly, the Red Cross have given the school bags. Uniforms is a problem. I know when it's thinking about who's going to buy a uniform. So at the moment, we're taking that out of capitation, trying to get uniforms for our Ukrainian students, because we have a uniform in our school and we want them to look like everyone else. You know, they shouldn't stand out.
Of course.
So
of course.
We're taking that out of capitation.
Have you asked the Red Cross to help you with that?
No, we didn't. The Red Cross got in contact with us about the school bags, and I suppose we're now going back to saying, look, is there anyone that can help buy uniforms or fund uniforms for Ukrainian students? But Claire, you also asked there, just to go back to a point, where are the teachers? When you're trying to take on teachers, Dubai, you know, for secondary school, Dubai is a very attractive option for young teachers. You get 52,000 tax-free as your starting salary, and you get extra allowances. You get your flights paid for and your accommodation paid for.
Very attractive.
That's why they're gone.
Very attractive,
very attractive,
isn't it?
And teaching is not attractive here anymore, I wouldn't think.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I love teaching and I would not do anything other than teaching. But the government really need to look at a publicity campaign to get people into teaching. And another thing that's put people off teaching, I suppose, is the 2-year PME for secondary school.
Explain that to me now.
So when I did my training, you did 1 year, you did your HDIP. So you did your degree, you did your HDIP, you were a teacher. But it was changed a number of years ago. The higher diploma was got rid of and they bought in PME. So now you do 2 years more of college.
So now, it's 2 years onto your degree.
You could do a degree of 4 or 5 years, and then you could do 2 more years for your teacher. You could be 7 years trying to get qualified to become a teacher.
So it's just not attractive to do that for many people.
But it's not financially viable. You've got to pay another, 10 grand to do the PME? And there's no difference between the calibre of teachers that came out after 2 years of the PME and, like myself, 1 year of the HDIP.
Mm-hmm.
Where that decision came from, I don't know, with the universities trying to make money, you'd have to ask them. But certainly, if they bought the dip back to 1 year, you would encourage more people to go into teaching. But as well, when you start off in secondary school, I'm not sure about primary school, but in secondary, you might start on very small hours. Because say if you're an art teacher, for example, we took on an art teacher this year, I only need 12 hours of art. So not my fault, but I can only offer that person 12-hour contract. Sure, who wants to work for 12 hours a week?
I know. It's really, really difficult offering somebody that and for them to be able to take it as well. You need to be in a very specific set of circumstances. I want to talk to you, Louise, about bills, because Siobhan was telling us about what she's facing there in terms of running the school and it being 2,500 in May, you know, one of the warmer months. Are you facing the same problem?
Yeah, we would have seen our energy bills actually almost double just before the holidays. And you would have thought, like, with the fine weather and the brighter days, but the bills just literally doubled, Claire. It was really shocking. And, you know, we get a certain amount of funding, which is to pay for the children's resources and indeed to pay for the energy bills, etc. And I mean, it'll be just awful if most of that money will have to go towards energy bills.
Mm-hmm. But as I say, there will have to be an intervention there. I mean, you can't be expected to take that from the money that you have to run the school.
No. And I mean, if we look, you know, that the government is making efforts to help, you know, across the sector. So you would imagine that they think of schools. But another thing, Claire, that I wanted to mention to you today, because I know a lot of principals are very worried about this, or we just can't understand it, is we've absolutely no guidance or information as to how to manage our schools, you know, in the aftermath of COVID. Up to last term, we all had our COVID cleaning grants and we had our COVID grant for PPE. I just found there this morning on the 25th of April, the department said that the funding for 2022-23, so this year, will be reviewed in advance of the commencement of the school year, having reference to public health. But I mean, we're here, you know, some schools opened last week, some schools are opened today. As I say, we're opening on Thursday and we have no guidance. I have teachers asking me, you know, if we want, can we still wear masks in our busy classrooms? We've no guidance. We don't know. We've all had the benefits of enhanced cleaning in our schools ourselves. We went from 11 hours up to 26. So we employed a second cleaner. And, you know, I have to tell that second lady, we just don't know.
Well,
so it's really disappointing.
So you don't know what's happening. We asked the Department of Education this and they've confirmed to us that the COVID capitation grant funding will be provided for this
term one.
Yes. Siobhan, is that you, Siobhan?
It is, yes.
So
yes.
You've had that confirmation, have you?
As well? I and Theo got that confirmation just towards the end of last week. But again, it's not good enough. It's a bit unnerving, you know, not knowing. And again, it's going to be reviewed at the end of term one. And, you know, I think term one is going to be very challenging in terms of COVID. And we need that reassurance. Our staff need it and our children need it.
So that's for PPE that you may need and also for
and
the cleaning.
Cleaning. Yes.
Okay. And
yes, but Claire, sorry, Claire, excuse me. But, you know, we don't have a letter telling us this, you know, and I'm a little bit concerned. I'd be slow to go and speak to my cleaner without saying it's not on the INTO website. It's not anywhere to say that this is confirmed. So I think, you know, in fairness to school principals, it would be great to get an email stating this and then we can proceed to organise ourselves. You know, and we really need to keep our schools safe, particularly if we don't have substitute teachers. You know, we need to make sure that our children and our teachers are safe in schools with the procedures available to them that they would like to have. You know, to keep COVID at bay.
Mm-hmm. And we just don't know, as you say, what's going to happen. And you can't offer somebody a job without knowing 100% that you can afford to pay that person.
Absolutely, Claire. And if we don't have the funding, obviously, we can't proceed with those extra measures. You know, and I accept that people are saying that it's confirmed, but you know, to me, it's confirmed when I see it in writing.
Yeah, I just have listeners getting in touch here about, you know, the teachers and where they're going. A Cork listener says, Aaron, you're dead right. It's too long to qualify as a secondary school teacher. The cost is just too much for some people. But Myra says that she knows of 4 out of 6 teachers who were working in Dublin for the last 3 years and they've left to live down the country. They can't afford to live there. Lots are heading to Australia. My daughter teaches there and earns 50% more than here. My other daughter will follow her next year. Pay levels must rise here or we will lose our fabulous trained teachers. But just if there is an exodus from Dublin and from other cities, is that beneficial for you, Aaron?
Well, yes, it is. I gained two teachers, two maths teachers left Dublin and they came to work for me, which is fantastic because you can't get maths teachers. They're like gold dust. So absolutely, it was brilliant for me. But like I have colleagues up in Dublin that and they do struggle. But I think what we really need to go back is and look and say, why is someone not becoming a maths teacher? I think nationally, very few graduate. It could be single digits of the number of people that qualified with maths last year in Cork City from UCC. It's very, very low.
Why is that? Do you know why?
Why is that? I think teaching just is no longer the attractive career it used to be. There's a huge administrative burden put on teachers. The workload is huge. And, of course, people straight away say, sure, you're off all summer. The workload of a teacher inside a school is very intense, very busy. There's huge work, all these CBAs, all this correcting, massive workload. It would put anyone off. Mm-hmm. It's really not as attractive as it was. No, it's the most rewarding job. Working with teenagers is fantastic, and to see them get their Leaving Cert results, but my God, you're dragged through the hedges to get them there.
Joe has been in touch. He's a retired principal and he's a PME tutor now. He says the vast majority of young teachers benefited hugely from better training over the 2 years, and there's no doubt about it in his mind. So maybe you're not getting as many teachers through, Aaron, but they're better.
Well, I don't know. What I'm saying is they're not. I'm not saying up myself, but my training is not any less because I did 1 year of a HDIP, and half my staff who did 1 year of a HDIP as well. We're no less a teacher than someone that comes out with 2 years. What the big difference is, we were £5,000 richer because we didn't have to pay 2 years of college fees.
Listen, we'll leave that one there because we're not going to solve it here. But can I ask you all to finish, Louise? I'll start with you. Are you looking forward to the new school year?
Oh, Claire, I'm up in school today, and just to walk through and see the different levels of preparation that the teachers have done to welcome the students in, the smell of clean, the new bits of furniture, caretaker has the grounds looking beautiful. I'm really looking forward to seeing the happy faces coming in on Thursday.
And Siobhan?
Absolutely, I agree totally. I'm here in my school as well, a lovely clean building, a lot of work put in by the caretaker and the cleaning staff, and, you know, I think every teacher embraces September and we look forward to having the children back and hearing their stories and getting started on the new year.
Yeah, the parents are looking forward to having them back as well, let me tell you. And Aaron, once you get the ramp back out and back in again, you'll be delighted, I'm sure.
We are. Well, we're back open since Wednesday, so we're well into it already.
Oh,
so it's great.
Thank you all very much for talking to us, and the best of luck to you in the coming term and the school year.